Our first reading is from Isaiah 40, beginning in the first verse. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough plains places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Revelation 21, beginning in the first verse. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of the Lord is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away their every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. Thank you, God, the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God. Let us stand together for the hearing and the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. He said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and beheld him, and they grabbed him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you. Heavenly Father, we praise you and bless you for this great news. And pray as we come together to hear your word that you would attend us, attend our heart, attend our ears, attend our eyes. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So I am just fascinated by the first word that Jesus speaks in the Gospel of Matthew. The first word he says is rejoice. Now, some of your Bible says greetings. Eugene Peterson in the Message says, I like this. The first word, good morning. The word contains inside of it simply the word joy. So when you've got this sound, rejoice in the Lord always, I say to you, rejoice. It's the same word. It's the same imperative. Come and step and stand into the joy. That's the nature of it. That's the sound that's being spoken here. And for me, the movement is that we've got an imperative being given to us by the Lord. He's got a message, and that message is full of joy. Now, this is unusual because the world, I think, has taught us that joy is something that passes. Joy is something that is fleeting. We get it and it's gone. We get it again and it's gone. We get it again and it's gone. But this joy is a joy he's giving to us and calling us to enter in. Before he died, the thing that Jesus said, and this is said in John 16, verse 22, he said, you will have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Once he gives it, and once you got it, you are never the same. And this is what's happening in this text. You've got to understand that this joy does not have words to it in some ways, because it is unspeakable, uncontainable joy. And there's a reason for that joy. And I want to talk about that this morning with you. I want to give the underpinnings of this sound rejoice that is the first word that Jesus gives us in this text. Why joy? Why is it joy here? Well, it's all built on the fact that the words say that, behold, Jesus met them. Now, if you've been reading through any gospel, you're going to find out that's impossible. It's utterly impossible. Why? He died. He was buried. For 3 days he was in the tomb. Jesus met them. No. You don't meet after you've died. This is a law. This is a rule. It is held fast. It is non-negotiable. All of us die. That's just the plain fact. It's as real a law as the law of gravity. It's as real as a law of nature that to live we must breathe. To live the heart must pump and the blood must go through it. In order for a fish to live, it must be in the water. A fish doesn't sing from a birdcage. It's against law. Nor can a leopard change his spots. Nor can the Ethiopian change the color of his skin. No. There's a principle here. Death is in the world. And that's how the world understands it. There's a law here called the law of death. And it's just a fact. It's a fact of life. We all die. And I would say to you, what the Bible does with that is that the Bible takes that to a deeper principle. And that death, in fact, is a result of something. Not just that it happens, it's a result of something. And the Bible makes it quite clear. It's called the law, Romans 8:3. It's called the law of sin and death. Death is the consequence. The wage of sin, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And when you come to see the context of that, you begin to realize that this is the problem, is that because we are in sin, as a result of that sin, we die. And that, my friends, takes us back to the Garden of Eden, where this unbreakable, non-negotiable law began. In the beginning, God created us to live. He gave to Adam and to Eve life. Do you believe that? He didn't give us death. He gave us life. But made in the image of God, guess what he does to us? He gives us, by decree, being in his image, the ability to choose. And he gave to Adam and Eve that right to choose. And as you know the story, they ate from the forbidden fruit. They did what God told them not to do. And he said, in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And that's the story. Romans 5:12. Sin entered into the world through one man, and because of sin, death came. It's been the story ever since. The prodigy, the offspring, you and I are still there. You say, well, I'm not a religious person. You're not a religious person. Well done you. You're still going to die. It's just a fact. I mean, all of us live in the reality of that fact that is just simply permeating every single sense of conversation. The prophets would rise up and just simply say it in this language. Ezekiel 18 says, all souls are mine, says the Lord, but the soul that sins will die. The Bible then records, we've all sinned. Therefore, all fall short of the glory of God. We are all under this constant sense of death being real. It's simply a law. And behind it comes the worst piece of it. And the worst piece of it is that the devil makes hay of this. The way it's said in Hebrews chapter 2 is he's the one with the power of death, and he keeps us in lifelong slavery, in bondage, that we are going to die. Always keeping us in the fear of death. I remember that as a child. I remember as a child being afraid I was going to die. I remember waking up, sweat coming off my brow. I remember going to my parents. I was afraid they were going to die. It's a principle of life. I don't want it. I don't like it. Raise your hand if you like it. But you see, this is not how God made us. He did not make us to go down into the ground. He gave us life at the beginning. His intention was for us to live and have life and have it in abundance. This is why the world today is the way the world is today. They will come celebrate Christmas, the birth of Jesus. They have no trouble with his teaching. They don't know it, but they have no problem with it. They have no problem coming to his death. They have no problem him going to the cross. He's going to be the great philosopher, the great theologian, who is simply going to die like all the rest of us, but he's dying for his cause, and then he dies. They come to Easter morning, and they're done. And then we're called a religion. A bunch of people hoping in hope that maybe, just maybe, something else is a different story. But here the world turns out, just tunes us out. It doesn't hear this piece. It doesn't know this story. Why? Because it's just a fact of life. Get with the program. We all die. And so the world doesn't get today. Do you get today? Let me tell you about today. There is a reason that the world doesn't get today. The reason that the world does not get today is because it does not know him. It's that simple. It does not know Jesus. The person of Jesus. That's always the problem, is that most of us, anytime we're suffering in the problems of life, it really always comes back to this central issue. We really don't know who he is and what he's come to do. Let me be very specific about this. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. What does that mean? It means this, is he's coming into this conversation with us, fully man, 100% fully man, and yet conceived by the Holy Spirit. The way that would be said in the Gospel of Luke is the way the angel would share this with Mary is that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. What does that mean to you? I'm going to tell you what that means. It means he came from the outside into our story. He didn't come from our story. He came into our story. Why is that different? Because if you come from our story, you have inherited inside of us the law of sin and death. He comes outside. He does not have the law of sin and death. He is holy. He is outside sin. He is somebody who does not come under this principle of sin and of death. This one, the scripture is going to declare, is without sin. This one tempted in all ways, Hebrews 4:15, yet without sin. 2 Corinthians 5 teaches us this, he who knew no sin. In other words, take the first point of this. He is just like Adam and Eve. He was born with a breath of God inside of him. He is perfect man as man was intended to be. And here he is, fully man, born in Bethlehem, one of us, yet not under the law of sin and death. Do you understand the ramifications of that? Do you realize he's come, but he cannot die? There's no way, because death has no claim upon him, because he's never sinned. Are you with me still? Somebody say you're with me. Understand the nature of this. We die because of sin. He knows no sin. He shall not die. That's the point of it. Now, what they also don't understand, as much as he's fully man, the Bible's also going to rush and tell us, guess what else? He is also at the same time fully God. But he, knowing it's too difficult to grasp, that the equality with God's something too much to be grasped, he made himself like one of us. But make no mistake, he is God the Son. And that's what the world doesn't understand. Fully God and yet fully man. And he's coming here to do a work with us. He's coming to rescue us. He's coming to save us from what? The law of sin and death. That's why he's here. That's why he's come. He knows our suffering. He knows our bondage. He knows what the devil has done to scare us, to frighten us with death. And even Jesus himself in John 8 says, don't you see, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. He has come that we not die in our sins. He's come to break the unbreakable law of sin and death. And only he can do it. The world doesn't get that. This person, this blessed person, God the Father, sending God the Son, that we might not perish into death, but have life and have everlasting life. That's why he's come. This is why when you move through the Gospels, you don't understand it. It's an amazing moment because you're literally watching perfect man as we were intended to be. This is it. He's life. Of course people are healed. He's life. Everything about him. And that's why Hebrews will say he has got indwelling inside of him the power of an indestructible life. Death cannot have Jesus. He's different. Yet he's one of us. Yet he's different. Yet he's one of us. So somebody says, so why did he die? Because he died. Did he not die? But if he died and sin, he hadn't sinned, why did he die? There's no reason for him to die. There was no reason for him to die. There was no reason for him to die, except what he decided to do in the garden. In the garden of Eden, oh, Father, let this cup pass. Father, let this cup pass. But not my will, but thy will be done. And there it is, the event that has no comparison of all time, the event like no other event in all of history. The Father takes the sin of you and of me and of all people ever born and places the sin of the world upon his Son. Your sin, my sin, away from us and onto him. And that's why in the Garden of Eden, the drops of blood began. He just committed himself to come under the law of sin and death, not his sin, our sin. The death he's going to die is not his death, because he doesn't deserve to die, because he never sinned. The death he's going to die is our death, your death, my death. Do you understand the ramification of that if this is true? Let me say it really clearly. Don't miss this. The death you are going to die has already happened in the death that he died for you. The death you are going to die already happened in the death that he took for you. His death. Do you believe that? Let me say it another way. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. Shall live even if he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Death has got no more power over the one who trusts in Jesus, who forgave us our sin. In forgiving us our sin, he died our death. And that means when it comes time for us to close our eyes, we're going to close our eyes. The body will go down to the ground, but we shall live. In the life that he's already paid for. He's already done. That life is... Listen, do you believe this? Listen to this. This is amazing. This is the greatest story ever told. Here is Stephen. He's being pounded with stones. What happens to Stephen as he's dying? He looks up and he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. His body goes to the dust, and yet Stephen goes on. Why does he go on? Because Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. No one need to die again. Sin is paid for. If sin is paid for, death has got no more hold. Death has got... Let me just say it the way the Bible says it. That Jesus appeared to abolish death and bring life and immortality to light. That's why he came. Let me say it from 1 Corinthians 15's perspective. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. Right? And that's true. The sting of death is sin. Because of sin, we die. The power of sin is the law. What's in the law? The law tells us we're sinners. And if we're sinners, we're under the threat of death. But then Paul says it so beautifully, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the thing. If you have believed upon Jesus, if you have given yourself to him, if he is Lord of your life, if your sins have been forgiven, death has got no more power to it. And the devil cannot scare us because of it. Let me say it the way Hebrews says that. So then he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. And that's what's going on today in the world. People are afraid. We're all afraid. There's such chaos in the world today. And the devil just plays with us, threatening us with death, threatening with all kinds of things that are going to actually make us feel like we're worth nothing. We have no value. Nobody can see us. Nobody can hear us. Nobody can know us. And yet the thunder comes, and the thunder is real. Jesus has come to do this for us. And so the moment the women see them, he says to them, rejoice. The greatest words that could ever be heard, because on the cross he said, it is finished. And if you believe it's finished, then when he rises on the third day, the word rejoice means everything. Rejoice, it's over. The bondage is over. The slavery is over. Death cannot have you, but life wins. Just as God intended us to have from the very beginning of time. It was not his purpose. It was not his design that the law of sin and death be in us. His design was to make us in his image that we might live, that we might have life, that we might be with the Lord forever. Now, if I was writing this script, this is how I would do it. That the moment we believe, we go home. The moment we believe, we go home. Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, people say, no, let's go for a boat ride and a cruise. Let's go to see somebody play baseball. Excellent. Fun. Really fun. But wouldn't it be awesome to believe and go home? And not deal with this body, which is just no fun to deal with. and to deal with the problems of life and deal with the anxieties and the stress. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could just, believe, and upon believing, boom, we're home forever. And yet that's not the way it's designed. Do you know why it's not designed that way? Because as long as we have breath, the moment you know what Jesus said, go tell everybody what you've seen and what you've heard. Tell everybody. The way it said in Isaiah 40 that Janice read today, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her. Her warfare is ended. Her iniquity is pardoned. She has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Go tell everybody, I've dealt with their sins. I've dealt with the power of death. I'm alive. I'm alive forevermore. That's the glory of the story. Go tell everybody. You and I have a hope like no other hope known to mankind. This is why when people say to you that Christianity is a religion, it is not a religion, it is life. It is the sheer life. Life as God intended life to be. And there is, as you heard in the second reading, there is a day coming when there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Because this first heaven and this first earth, guess what? It's in a state of decay, is it not? Oh, look in the mirror and figure it out. Everything's in a state of decay. Everything. We're in a state of decay. But guess what? There's coming. Some of you don't know. You caught that, I think. There's coming a day when there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. There's going to come a day when it says that the tabernacle of God, the dwelling place of God, will be among his people. And we shall be his people. And he will wipe every tear from our eyes. And death will be no more. Neither sorrow, nor mourning, nor crying, nor pain. Those things will have passed away. And we shall see his face. And so go comfort one another. A day is coming. A day is coming like no other day is coming. And we will see him. And the only thing that the women could do, the only thing that they knew how to do, was simply to fall at his feet and to worship him. To worship him for what he has done. To worship him for what he has given. That he has set us free from the law of sin and death. That the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free. And so we get to go tell everybody. Because Easter is what it's all about. Easter is the moment that the world has been waiting to hear, but the world can't hear it. It doesn't understand. Death has been defeated. Jesus Christ has come to deal with it all. And all we have to do is to receive the blessing of it, to receive the joy of it, and let the joy come inside us. A joy like no other joy. A joy that doesn't come because we're doing something. A joy that comes from him to us. Rejoice. Let that joy come into you. Let my joy come into you. That's what the Lord says. A joy that's physical. A joy that's tangible. A joy that can look at any circumstance, any situation, and know it doesn't matter what that situation is. There's a joy inside of us because our Savior has come. He's done what nobody else could do. He's defeated the conversations against us. The world, the powers of the world, the flesh, the powers of the flesh, the devil, the powers of the devil. And he's looked death straight in the face and he has said, you are mine and you cannot win anymore. And my people will be safe. There's a joy that belongs to the Christian. There's a joy that belongs to Easter Day. There's a joy that belongs to the soul. There's a joy that only he can give, and it comes from him. I can't explain it. I'll never be able to explain it because I can't. It doesn't have any words. But when you know that Jesus has done this for you and that you are free, that you can do anything now, you can live life like you've never lived life because there isn't an end to this one. There's a joy that one day a hope is coming. One day my eyes are going to close and then my eyes are going to open and we will see him face to face. This is why Jesus could say to the thief on the cross, guess where you're going to be today? Guess. Now that's my translation. I know this. I know that. But guess where you're going to be today? Home, just like the book opens. He made us for Eden. He takes us back to Eden. That's where we're headed. And so we are a people who do life well. We do life well because he has given us the greatest gift known to man, known to mankind. Joy, dear friends, it is Easter morning. Joy, my friends, he was dead, but he's not dead no more. He's alive. Sin has been paid for. Sin is done, and now death is conquered. How do I know? Look at him. He's alive. And his word to you today is so simple. Guess what it is? It's good morning. It's rejoice. Oh, friend, let the joy of the Lord come upon you. Oh, let the anxieties you feel deep in your soul, oh, give them to Jesus today. And let joy come upon you. Not joy that'll pass on Monday morning. His joy. A joy that will never be taken from you. For it is just true. Jesus Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.